thinking of how Eugene had mentioned that I know your works, that they're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you or spew you out of my mouth. You know, that's an interesting phrase. I will spew you or I will vomit you out of my mouth. First of all, that's an unpleasant experience, to say the least. But it's interesting that if you go back to the book of Leviticus in chapter 28, when it comes to, I think, Mike, you mentioned in your introduction. I'm sorry, 18, verse 29, I think it is. You mentioned, Mike, in your introduction, the sexual immorality. And certainly today, we're faced with that. But in the context of Leviticus 18, in the moral laws of God, this phrase is used against sexual immorality. God says, I will vomit. It's an interesting expression. Maybe it would do good just to read the verse, because this is the day we live in, and this is the day that so many face. He says this, Leviticus 18, verse 29. He says, for whoever commits any of these abominations. Now, you can go back to the beginning of chapter 18 and read through to see what the abominations are that he's speaking about. But he says, whoever commits any of these abominations, the persons who commit them will be cut off. And 28, thank you. Lest the land vomit you out also when you defile it, as it vomited out the nations that were before you. What an expression. And so this is God's heart. Now he sees these things happening today that we take lightly. We take lightly. And how do we take them lightly? Well, sometimes we see them on TV. Sometimes we sit through 2 hours, some people do, of seeing them. Sometimes we see them in commercials and on. I'm just trying to be practical. If we're going to align ourselves with the one who's faithful and true, this is a challenge. These are the things that he'll spew out of his mouth. So just to this lukewarmness of Christianity, professing Christianity today, these are some of the areas that he finds to be repulsive, and he will spew them out of his mouth.
I'd like to say a few comments on the true and faithful witness. We heard the difference between amen, and we read the verse in 2 Corinthians. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, and then in the Gospel, and then in the Gospel of John 18. So we'll start from John 18. Verse 37. Here Pilate is asking the Lord. Pilate thereof said to him, are you a king then? The Lord Jesus answered, for this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate. He's a true witness because he said the truth, and he is truth. And he is faithful, and he has to speak about all that is true. And that's what we read in the Gospel of John in many verses where it says, verily, verily, or truly, truly. Among the many bad things we heard about and evil things we heard about that characterizes Laodiceans, the Lord mentioned that you do not know. This is the most dangerous thing for a believer to be said about a believer that he does not know. Even the sinner, if he does not know that he is a sinner. In the Gospel of John, chapter 9, the Lord is dealing with a blind person, a blind man who was born blind. In verse 40 and 41, those who were around or knew the blind person, in verse 40, then some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. If there is a believer who knows the weakness in him or his weakness, he needs to go to the Lord, and the Lord has the cure and has the treatment for that as written here. Because in this church, this letter to the Laodiceans, the Lord provided the cure, the solution to all the negative and evil things we read about. The solution that the Lord provided to the lack of knowledge that he does not know. In verse 18, I counsel you. He tells him, he counsels him. And here we have the word of God that has the full counsel and the full will of the Lord revealed. And like we read in Colossians chapter 4, there was a epistle that was required to be read in the Laodicean church. And that is the treatment for their ignorance. And then there was another problem that they had, which was they were poor. And the treatment for that and the solution for that is for you to buy from me gold. And maybe this word or this expression, to buy from me, is strange for us from reading the Bible, because everything we have is by grace. But if we go to Isaiah chapter 55, we'll see the difference between buying and grace. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, that he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Yeah, the without money and without price in Arabic is without silver and without gold. This is the meaning of buying here. This is not that I pay something to get it. Buying here is plainly and simply to go to the Lord and ask from Him. He also had another problem, which he was naked. And he presented him white garments, that you may be clothed. That the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And here we see the godly righteousness that has covered us as believers. And here we have another treatment for blindness. You anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. And this is the discernment that the Lord gives to the believer through the Holy Spirit. And in verse 16, there's a treatment to lukewarmness. So in verse 16, he says, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, in verse 19, we see the cure there, that therefore be zealous. Zealousness is the opposite of lukewarmness. The Lord here presents a complete solution, cure, and treatment for the needs of the Laodiceans. Brother Michael mentioned about prayer. The believer who does not give a big importance to prayer in his life is declaring that he is rich and is in no need. Maybe the believer does not realize this. But if I go down into the street and go towards my work without prayer, what I'm doing is I'm telling the Lord, I don't need you with me.